Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to welcome in Patricia McCarthy with the Connecticut Association of Boards of Education. She's the executive director. And Leonard Lockhart, who Windsor Board of Education, CK, National School Board Association, president-elect. I mean, how many titles can you have?
Several.
Are you collecting?
No, just a humble servant.
Well, you know, it's great to catch up with you guys. Obviously, as Patrice will say it better than me, I mean, you know, people are on a board of ed, it's elected, they don't get paid, and super important because they do a lot of thankless work, right? I mean, is that about summing up?
Absolutely. We help the 1,400 volunteer school board members in Connecticut. They are the largest group of elected officials in the state, and we know that public education is critically important to our economy and to their ability to be successful engage citizens in the future.
Leonard, how long have you been involved in this kind of stuff?
Since January 2012.
Okay. So it's been more than a decade.
That is correct.
Where are we relative to when you started?
Volunteerism overall has waned, especially in the area of public scrutiny. And when people are outside the fence looking at what we do as volunteers, they see one perception. But when they actually sit in a seat and actually doing the work, they understand it's a lot different. There's rules, procedures, policies, and laws that we have to follow to actually execute this work in public education.
So does that mean it's harder now in 2025 to get people to do it than in 2012?
I would say so. Definitely in the area of the fact that we're responsible for, you know, approving policies and curriculums and budgets. And when we approve a budget as a board, then we have to go to our local taxing authority and advocate very strongly on behalf of our boards of education to get state funding, federal funding, and local funding. But most times, the first thing that's usually cut is the Board of Education budget.
Right. Well, the thing is, Patrice, is that, listen, I grew up in Massachusetts. They had this thing called Prop 2.5, mm-hmm. where if you're going to raise taxes by more than 2.5%, you had to have a townwide vote on it. And the older folks with no kids always voted against it, and they're the ones who vote more. And the young families were always very vocal, but they didn't get enough people to vote. And oftentimes you didn't get the increase enough to satisfy the budget. And that's kind of been the age-old dynamic in America, right?
It is, and it's up to the Board of Education then to prioritize living within whatever that appropriation is, and whether mm-hmm. the appropriation is decided by a Board of Selectmen or at a townwide referenda. The board has to prioritize the needs of the students, and those are very hard decisions that they have to make.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll get in nuts and bolts in the next segment. I'm just curious. You talk about volunteerism, and Leonard, I agree with you. We do the Starting Across Connecticut, and one of my main things is we get a lot of towns that have volunteer fire departments. You know, Meriden had closed theirs, and volunteerism is definitely, as you put, waning, and I don't know how to change it. It's cultural. It's, you know, people move. They're not necessarily staying in the towns they grew up in when they get older. I mean, is there something like at your grassroots level? Like, do you market volunteerism for people to, like, how do you recruit people?
As an organization, we don't recruit because these are local elected officials, but we do encourage sitting Board of Education members to reach out to people in their community that they think might be good candidates to help them understand what the roles are. Leonard and I do two webinars to help candidates be prepared when they do get elected to be efficient and effective in their work, because this is a big responsibility that you don't go to school to train for. We can talk a little bit about civic engagement and how we build that.
Well, just real quick, neither one of you can take it. If someone's at home, maybe they kids off to school and they have a little more time, or maybe they're recently retired, or maybe they just want to do more. Like, how on average, because every town and city is different, right? But how much time does this consume in somebody's life if they are on a board of education?
Well, if you're doing it effectively, it could be about 2 to 2.5 hours a day. Minimum, that's inclusive of the reading, the dealing with the constituents, working with the board, doing committee work, being prepared for upcoming meetings. It's not something that you could just wait meeting to meeting and just show up and do it. You have to be prepared. And it's obvious when folks are not prepared when they're in the meetings, especially if the information is provided to you.
Is that about right?
Absolutely. But I do think that knowing, if you choose to take this responsibility, knowing that there is support for you as a board member from organizations like CABE that can provide you with professional development, that can be a resource to help you fulfill those very important duties.
We're talking with Patrice McCarthy, the executive director at the Connecticut Association of Boards of Education, Leonard Lockhart. He is the president. He's also the president-elect of a National School Board Association and, of course, in the school board in Windsor, Connecticut, my town. We're back here at 8:52 with Patrice McCarthy, the executive director at the Connecticut Association of Boards of Education. Do you say CABE? Is that
we
it?
Say yes. CABE.
Okay. And then Leonard Lockhart is the president, and he's got a bunch of other titles. I'm not going to go through them all. It might take me to the end of the show. You know, I went to Swampscott Public Schools in Massachusetts till the 10th grade, and then I went to private school. And, you know, my dad always just – and we had these conversations because – I don't know why we had these conversations, but my father always felt it was important to go to public school just because of – the broad range of people, and it depends on your town, but he thought it was important, right? Especially, you know, in the backdrop of then I went to private school. But, you know, and my kids have gone to both, public and private, and it just feels like in America, and I don't forget, I'm not going to get political about the, you know, what Linda McMahon's doing and so on and so forth, but it does feel like our public education I wish it would be a way to positively give it a reset, right? I mean, there's so many protocols, so many regulations, so many stakeholders to satisfy. Like, if you could, like, change one or two, I mean, these are big questions, but, like, if there's one or two things you could change, whether it's around the edges or in the core, to make it better, what would they be?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
To be.
I think if we
that's
look,
for you too, I want both.
If we look at the number of mandates that from both the state and federal level that are imposed on districts, many of them overlapping, so that you're spending a lot of time doing compliance. If we allow,
can you give me like a concrete example?
Professional development mandates, for example.
Yeah, we talked about that.
There are a certain number of hours that you're required to deliver in certain areas, and some of those have to be done every year. And we're talking about adult learners, our educators. Most of those things they could retain for more than a year. So if we can give some more flexibility at the local level so that districts can say, in our community, here's the real need. We're rolling out a new curriculum. So we want to make sure that we have intensive professional development so it can be implemented with fidelity. That's how we want to spend our professional development time this year. That would help us provide a better use of that time, better use of taxpayer dollars.
Sadly, with any federal dollars or state dollars, it comes with strings attached.
Yeah.
And local towns can say, we need the money because we don't want to put that pressure on our local tax base. But then at the same time, a lot of the mandates that are out there are either partially funded or unfunded at all. For example, special education, IDEA, has been a federal law for decades, and it has not ever been fully funded to support Tier 2, Tier 3 supports for kids. And with the state of federal funding right now in the country, you know, it could put a lot of title monies in jeopardy and put a town in a position, do we pay for this out of our town budget or do we lay people off and cut programs? And that's going to be a very, very serious discussion that's going to go into this next budget cycle for all boards of education.
So like these schools can't survive without the federal money. But in some ways, you're saying if they weren't dependent on the federal money and can go it alone, they could have more freedom to do what they want.
They could do that. But at the end of the day, we also appreciate the oversight and supports that the federal government and the state government provide. So there's that piece. But there's also the fact that there's a lot of burdens that's always placed on the local school districts. And a lot of these decisions should be local. We always advocate for local control. But at the same time, if you're going to put mandates, you have to provide the support and the funding.
You guys talk about AI and stuff, or is that, you know?
Absolutely. It's, you know, last year it was cell phones, this year it's AI. It is an issue for educators at all levels. It's under discussion at the college level as well. How we manage to help students be good consumers and use AI as a tool, but not use it to replace what we really need to develop in our students, which is the ability, the capacity to be critical thinkers.
That's a difficult needle to thread, though.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? In Windsor, I know for a fact that we use the Google platform for our emails and everything else.
Right.
And Google has Gemini.
Yeah.
And Gemini is definitely used by the staff and the kids.
We can't help but use it because you do a Google search and it spits out Gemini the first thing.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, what you want to do is we're teaching kids to have real life skills when they graduate and to whatever path they wish to have, and to shy away from the technology is something that we have no desire to do. But we also want to make sure that, one, we're creating, maintaining academic honesty, but at the same time, preparing kids with these real-life skills that they're going to have to master rather quickly to be able to compete in this global economy, not just local, state, and national, but this is a global economy that we're trying to compete in, and we want our kids prepared for it.
It's funny. You're seeing more conversations about Blue Book exams in class, and it's almost like going back to – and it's the same with, like, technology. It's like in espionage, it's better to just, like, write something on a piece of paper and light it on fire at the end now than to send an email or what have you. I don't know. I don't have – these aren't leading questions. Like, you say that right. It's something you need to be facile at doing, but at the same time, you don't want to, like, have parts of our brains just not develop. And I don't know what the balance is.
Well, the balance is that we have to teach our kids to be able to understand basic concepts and then build into around structure where they're implementing those concepts. And then we put them in a situation where we're not teaching them to study to parrot a test, but we're teaching them to demonstrate that they have firm handle on the concepts, able to adapt, readjust, and then create solutions that are good for everybody. That's when you know public education is working, because it's hands-on, it's team-building, it's critical thinking, the staff is working well, the children's working well. Now you got the justice, the joy, and the genius in the education process, because now you're trying to find that genius in every single child. So AI, I think, is a beautiful thing, and it's going to force people to come together.
I think you should just clip that little thing there, and that's a good marketing tool right there. We only have a few seconds left, Patrice. Anything else, whether it's about encouraging people to get involved or telling people what you do, you know?
Involvement is key, and we have to remember that it's our public school system that was created to instill in young people a sense of civic responsibility, that notion of the common school. That really is what we have to focus on, because we've lost a lot of that feeling of participation, of engagement in your community, and our schools can help build that in our students.
Patrice McCarthy, the Executive Director of the Connecticut Association of Boards of Education. Leonard Lockhart, the President, also the President-elect of the National School Board Association. Thanks for coming. It's always good to see you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.